I'm Phil C.
And I'm Lynn.
And together,
we're Rome and Oz.
Real interviews.
With real people.
On location.
With a great mix of Aussie music.
As requested by the people we interview.
Follow us on Facebook.
Or check us out, allaussieradio.com.au.
Now syndicated too.
Backwater Country, 87.6 FM.
Tuesdays and Fridays.
At 9 PM.
All interviews are live.
And on location.
And may vary in audio quality from segment to segment.
So, Phil, what's on the show this week?
Well, Lynn, we're in Boney Mountain.
Yes, at the Folk Festival.
Indeed, at the Folk Festival. What a great time we've had there too.
Yes, we have.
Absolutely sensational. Now, first guests on the program are Tom and Jenny.
Yes, we actually met them at Nanango and followed them to Boney Mountain.
Well, yeah, we sort of did because we had no intentions of going to Boney Mountain.
No, we didn't.
We didn't, but... It was actually one of the walk-up artists who suggested we did, and we did, and we had a fabulous time. And Tom and Jenny are full-time travellers living on the road.
Yes, that's correct, in their fifth wheeler.
In their fifth wheeler. They sold up everything about 18 months ago. They're in their mid-70s.
Yes, I know, and doing well.
Doing extremely well, and I'm going to do my best to try and keep in touch with these guys to have them as regular people on the show.
Right, okay.
Now, straight after that, Jed and Trudy.
Ah, yes.
The Hillbilly and the Hobbit.
Yes.
What a sensational two they are.
Yes, country singers.
Country
yes.
singers and very talented individuals indeed. And they also run their own country music festival in...
Crow's Nest.
Crow's Nest in Queensland.
That's correct. And it's over the June... 10th of June to the 16th of June
10th
next year.
10th to the 16th next year. And we're going to be chatting to them guys a little bit later on as it gets closer to that. But they've already got some confirmed artists for that. Obviously, Jed and Trudy, they'll be there. Steve Sparrow, Kiara Rodriguez. She was at Nanango. What a sensational talent she is. Locke McKay. Look, too many to talk about.
Yep,
so
that's correct.
We're going to talk about that as it gets closer. And straight after that, we've got our regular back on the lines with us.
Ken Wilson, and he's from the Truck Friendly Caravan Road Safety Program.
That's the one.
Such a long title.
It's such a long title, and we haven't chatted to him for a little while. And he's just going to be talking about general safety tips.
Around the caravan.
In and around your caravan.
Good idea.
For example, things like your smoke alarm.
Make sure you check
your smoke alarm. Make sure you check your battery for that. Fire extinguisher, fire blankets, and other things outside of the caravan. And especially if you're new to caravanning, these are really important tips. So strongly suggest our listeners stick right to the end for that one.
Very good.
Now, Lynn, apart from this fabulous discussion with these three really, really interesting people, we've also got a great selection of music
as requested by the people we interview.
So, Lynn, what do you reckon?
On with the show!
Oh, g'day listeners, Phil C here on allaussieradio.com.au, and the program is called Rome and Oz, and I'm chatting with a couple of Rome and Oz nomads sitting right here with me, Tom and Jenny. Now, Jenny's inside the rig. I think, Tom, you got her doing some work in there, haven't you?
Yeah, mate. Yeah, I've got her trained. She makes my breakfast.
Okay. So she's the navigator and you're the engine
man? Navigator extraordinaire.
Navigator extraordinaire.
Still under... license, still under instruction.
All right, so she's on the probationary period.
She is.
So if she doesn't get it right now, you're just going to flick her halfway across the Nullarbor.
It could be, yeah.
Tom, tell us about yourself. First of all, I just want to let everybody know, what age, you don't tell me your exact age, what are you in? You're like 70 to 75?
Yeah, mate.
You're in about that age group?
I'm over 70.
You're over 70.
And I'm under 73.
Okay. So you're 71.
Somewhere there.
So you're in your 70s, and I'm assuming Jen's the same, although she's a lot better looking than you, so she could be a lot younger.
Quite a bit more handsome.
you sold up 18 months ago.
We did. We sold our house about 18 months ago. We moved into this fifth wheeler.
Yep.
And we purchased a little Iveco truck.
Yep.
And hit the road.
Hit the road. That to me, that's like you've sold up everything, okay? But you still have a beautiful vehicle here to live in. It's very big. It's 35 foot. You got three slide outs. I've been inside there. You got everything that opens and shuts. So very, very comfortable. But why sell up everything? You're going to be on the road now, but you're in that group where things start to fall off the cart, Tom, around about 70, 75,
well,
80.
That is true. We keep that in mind, and that's one of the reasons why we made the jump, I have to say. We're running out of time.
Okay.
And we've always wanted to do it, so here we are.
Yes.
We had the opportunity. We had real estate prices were up.
At their peak.
Through the roof.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. So we cashed the house and bought the rig.
Bought the rig.
And we're doing it.
Living the dream.
As we say, yeah, we're doing it.
Fantastic. So when you first, whose idea was it, Tom? Was it yours or Jenny's to do this?
Well,
Sell up and go.
Look, the plan hatched over a number of years, of course.
Yes.
And we didn't have the money. And the only way we would get the money was sell the house.
Okay.
So we decided we'll take the plunge and do it.
Okay.
So we can always, we'll always be able to go back and
get something.
Well, we've got my son's address to go back to.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm assuming it was your idea. I'm assuming. No, that could be wrong, but I'm assuming, because it's usually the men who make the decisions.
Well, it was a shared decision.
It was a shared decision.
Yeah.
So when you first said to Jenny, "Oh, listen, we're getting a bit old in the tooth now. I want to sell everything and hit the road." What was her initial reaction, knowing now it's going to actually happen?
I think she was all for it. Yeah.
She
said, "Let's go. Let's do it.
Let's do it."
Then we had to decide what sort of rig we would get.
Yep.
We looked at caravans, we looked at motorhomes,
yep,
converted buses, the big rigs. We looked at the fifth wheelers a couple of times, and looked at others, and it was a long, drawn out process.
Okay.
But we kept coming back to the fifth wheeler.
So what made you choose a fifth wheeler? Because I speak to a lot of people that have got fifth wheelers, and they all say, "Oh, we should have bought a bus or a coach and a little car," because wherever you go, okay, you've got an Iveco, you've got the Iveco Daily 7210. So it's a dual cab vehicle.
It's a dual cab.
And you can drive it to the shops.
We can.
But
we think we've got the best of both worlds.
Okay.
First off, it's our permanent home, so we needed the room.
Yes.
And nothing could give us the room that we've got now.
No.
So, you know, that's about the ultimate.
Yes.
As you see, we can just unhook and go to the shops, do all that stuff. You know, a car and a caravan is you do the same.
You do the same.
Do the same. But
you got a car, not a caravan. It's a small truck, the Iveco Daily.
It is a small truck. And it is, sometimes it's a bit rougher than a car.
Yes.
The Land Cruiser. Mm. But that rig is a lot cheaper than the big van and the big vehicle to tow it.
Okay. When you say cheap, are you talking fuel consumption now? Fuel
economy? I'm
talking
about everything, yeah.
Okay.
Fuel and the purchase price.
Okay. So you bought these separate, didn't you?
I bought them separate.
The fifth wheeler. The fifth wheeler is a Montana Mountaineer edition.
That's correct.
And it's 35 feet long. We talk feet with these ones. With three slide outs.
Three slide outs.
So it's a house on wheels, really.
It really is, yeah.
A house on wheels. So where have you been? You've been travelling for 18 months, roughly. Where have you been? You left home, which was in the Newcastle area, is that right?
Yeah, we hail from the Hunter Valley area down there. Last year we left home. We came up to the caravan rally at Bingra. That's with the CMCA.
Yes.
Of course, we got washed out there, and most of the country got washed out.
Yes.
So we all thought, well, we met an old fella in the pub, and he said, "Oh, I worked on Dartmouth Dam 50 years ago." He said, "It's only spilled over the wall twice since then."
Right.
So we thought, well, you know, it's fairly spectacular. So we said, we'll go and have a look at that.
Mm-hmm.
That was down Dartmouth, just across the border south into Victoria, of course.
Yep.
So I went down to Albury, a few days there, and then found our way up to Dartmouth. Had a good look around there. Most of the camps up there were flooded out, of course.
Yes.
But we managed to find a secret little camp that we could stay.
Mm-hmm.
And then where were we going to go? Well, we'll go down and visit our niece in Warrnambool.
Okay.
And so we went down there, visit the niece. And along the way, we met another couple with a fifth wheeler. They lived in Oraru,
right,
South Australia.
Okay.
So we've been tagging along with them for a while.
Okay.
And they were on their way home from the caravan rally at Bingra. And so we made our way south, visiting those places, and we'll go to Oraru on the spur of the moment.
Okay.
And we went and had a few weeks with our mates over there, and then back across to Broken Hill and made our way back to the Hunter Valley.
Okay.
Just before, I think that was in mid-December.
Right.
That was, yes. So had Christmas at my son's place.
Okay.
Couldn't wait to go again.
Okay.
So we had a few things to sort out. Doctors,
mm-hmm,
dentists.
Yes.
Few other things we had to take care of. And what was it? Back in early July this year, we got away again.
Okay.
So we went. Do you want me to tell you where we've been, Phil?
No, just without giving us too much detail, just rattle off the towns you've been to.
Okay, so we wanted to go. Our thing is music festivals.
I know, because this is where we are. We're at Boney Mountain, so you love the music.
Boney Mountain Folk Festival.
Folk Festival, you love the music.
Yeah, that's right. Folk festivals or country festivals.
Yep.
Particularly the older type festivals, we would rather.
Yep.
But anything's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so we left home in early July.
Yes.
Made our way to Thargaminda.
Yes.
Southwest Queensland.
Yes.
And it's a long way out there, Phil.
Yep.
And had a great time. That was the Channel Country music master.
Yep.
Jed and Trudy.
Jed and Trudy Hins. Yep.
Yeah.
They're the ones.
Yep. They're here, actually.
They are, yes.
Yep. So we went that was in July. Also, when that was over, that went for about a week, I think, about a week they usually go. We came back to Crystal Park. Now, that's near, up near Dalby anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, without having to get the map out and
fair
check
enough.
It, Phil.
Yep.
But anyway, so we went to another one at Crystal Park.
Yep.
Then we went to Ken and Annie's show at Laidley near Ipswich. Then we went to the Back to Basics Music Muster at Proston's.
Yep.
That was a really good one.
Yep.
Then we went to a little folk festival at Tara.
Okay, in Western Queensland.
Tara is, it's not all that far from here, a little bit northwest of here, I think it is, Phil.
Yes.
And we had a good, great time there.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, then we went to Nanango.
Yes.
Country Music
Which
Muster,
is where
and I think
you.
I ran into you there.
Yes, well, you met me, yes.
Yeah.
And you said, are you going to Boney Mountain? And I thought, if you're going to go there, I should go. Because
I don't think you had any plans of coming.
I had no plans of coming here. And I must admit, it's been a fabulous experience. I met some wonderful people and some fantastic talent that you get at these musters
music
festivals.
What about the walk-ups?
Well, the walk-ups are good too.
Yeah, the walk-ups, they're just ordinary people, like not made it musicians. There are some good musicians. Maybe they should be professionals.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe some of the professionals shouldn't be. So, you know, it cuts both ways. But usually at the festivals, they'll have a walk-up for a couple of days.
Right.
And preceding the festival proper.
Yes.
And just the Joe Bloke can get up and have a go.
Okay.
So,
Is something you like to do.
I've participated in that a few times,
Good on you.
Much to
the approval of Jenny, who holds her head in shame and thinks, off that stage, Tom.
She does. Sometimes,
So where are you going to be heading from here?
Okay, so we're at the Boney Mountain Folk Festival.
Yes.
We're heading on down to... I'm going to a private little folk gathering. I wouldn't call it a festival, but it is a gathering.
And yes.
Up near Nanango.
Right.
It's just a on a private property. But, it's open to most people that can come there. They've got a Facebook page. You get on the Facebook and say you'd like to come, and they'll say, by all means, come along.
Great.
After that, we're going to the Widgie Balladeers. That's up near Gympie, Widgie.
Okay.
A place called Widgie. Uh-huh. Yep. Then it's on to the CMCA rally at Dalby.
Right.
And we'll be there between the 8th and the 14th of October.
Right.
So we're really looking forward to that. So after that, Phil, we're not sure.
You're not sure. But it's getting close to Christmas. You think you'll be back home with the family for Christmas?
Oh, well, we need to be back in the Hunter Valley by about mid-November.
Right.
So more doctors, of course.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing you've got to put up with when you're getting to the pointy end of your life.
Yep.
Doctors want to talk to you all the time.
All the time.
So we want to keep on living, so that's what we do.
That's what you've got to keep doing. And you want to keep travelling as
well. We want to keep travelling.
You've invested a bit in this rig. It's a nice rig. It's home. You've got a nice truck. You've invested a bit of money. You want to enjoy it, so obviously you got to check in with the doctors every now and then. But other than that...
We've got, just on the unit itself, we did put a big solar system on, Phil.
Yes.
And we do carry a small generator with us.
Mm-hmm.
We do like to do the free camping.
Of course.
Of course, and most of the free camps have a donation box, which we do always leave a donation. So
yeah, absolutely.
We want to see those free camps continue.
Yes.
So if you want something to continue, you've got to
support it. Yeah.
And that means...
And only leave your footprints behind and not all your rubbish.
We make a point of leaving it better than we found it.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Mate, I want to thank you so much for taking the time, Tom. You got a lot of travels ahead of you. I might try and catch up with you somewhere on the road or the phones, and maybe you can tell us what you're up to and what you've been doing as part of your adventure. What do you think? You think it's something you might like to share with our people?
Yeah, we'd be happy to do that.
Fantastic. Mate, I'm going to wind this up now. Have you got a favourite Australian singer or band you might like to hear some songs by?
There are so many good ones.
Yes.
I love them all, you know, Buddy Williams, Slim Dusty, more the older type.
Mm-hmm. Chad Morgan.
Chad's a legend, yes. But one of my favourites is John Williamson.
Okay. Yeah. Willow, yes.
Yes, he's great. And, of course, we've seen his career.
Yes.
From when he was, you know, the old days. And he's been around for a while.
He's been around for a long time. Wrote some great songs. Fantastic songs. And have you got a favourite by him?
Oh, mate, I love that song, Old Farts in Caravan Parks.
All right, well, you don't do much caravan parking. You love the free camping, but look, Old Farts in Caravan Parks, there's some lyric in there that says, the wife's the navigator and I'm the engine man. So is that about the way it works with you guys?
Well, yes, and I tell you, the navigator does have to watch yourself at times.
Okay.
Because I tell you what, and the navigation can be a point of tension at times.
Okay, I think I'm going to wind it up with that, Tom.
Right, mate. Okay. It's all good.
I'm looking over my shoulder. I see Jenny. Put the rolling pin down, girl. Tom, thank you so much for your time, mate. We're going to catch up with you somewhere on the road. For
right
sure.
On, mate.
We'll be back with more of Roman Oz listeners straight after Johnny Williamson's Old Farts in Caravan Parks.
Thank you. Well, when we were in the Kimberley, we actually toured the show through first of all, and I made sure everybody in the audience knew I was going to come back through with a camper van. So I got all sorts of invites to go out to stations and up rivers fishing for barramundi. Just fantastic. And, of course, we did stay in a lot of caravan parks as well. This is all the way between Broome and Darwin. And I'd forgotten all about caravan parks. And it's fabulous. I met all these wonderful old people. And I could feel a song coming on straight away. And I've called it Old Farts in Caravan Parks. Oh, happy travellers are we, around Australia in a caravan. The kids are gone, we have no plan. You navigate, I'm your engine man. Yes, happy campers are we. And king of the road are we. Up a mountain road we wind, with a mile of traffic stuck behind.
too friendly a folk you wouldn't find. Oh, cheery old chooks away. We've hit the road and sold a home like a pair of drovers round we roam. No more winter and no more foam. We're wild and fancy free. And a pair of toilers are we. We'll pick fruit or prune a tree. Any old job doesn't worry me. It'll cover our fuel and the camping fee. Ah, frugal old farts, oi. And the dear old chook of you in your terry toweling dressing gown, the one you bought in the country town. Yours is pink and mine is brown. Threadbare old farts, oi. Yes, I've hit the road and sold a home like a pair of drovers round we roam. No more winter and no more foam. We're wild and fancy free. Oh, geez, we'll have to pull up again soon, darling. And a tidy little unit away. Everything has a place to be. A jar of coffee and a tin of tea. A life for two, but not for three. Oh, sexy old tarts away. And we always camp just near the loo, cause I have to go at midnight too. And dribble, 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 dribble's all I do. Oh, over the hill are we. Oh, happy campers are we. Around Australia in a caravan. The kids are gone, we have no plan. You navigate, I'm your engine man. Yes, happy campers are we. Go around. And the same to you too, sonny.
G'day everyone, Phil C here on allaussieradio.com.au, coming to you today from Boney Mountain and the Folk Festival. And I'm chatting with Jed and Trudy. How are you going today, you guys?
Yeah, pretty good, mate. How are you going?
Yeah, mate, yeah. I'm having a great time here. What a fabulous festival.
Yes, it's been going for a while and this is probably our fourth or fifth one here.
Okay. Haven't seen you up on stage yet, mate.
No. I thought I'm saving myself for Texas.
Oh, rightio.
I thought I might talk to Smokey Pete, who's up there singing now.
He's up there now.
I was going to get him to play Stanley and Slim, and he can play and I'll sing.
Yeah, that sounds
I'm
good,
not
mate.
A player. I can kind of carry a tune.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's talk about you guys. First of all, Crow's Nest in Queensland. Tell us all about that festival.
What do they call it?
Crow's Nest Festival.
Crow's Nest Festival. It's our hometown, actually, Crow's Nest. And a fellow by the name Paul Fleming runs it, and it's turning into a good little festival. It's starting to increase.
Yes.
I think the crowds are up again. They had to get a new marquee, and they've got more powered sites where they have it out the showgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's another good little festival that we...
A bit cold in the wintertime because it's run in June.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So, but it's a good hop, step and a jump. If people, a lot of people we've found come from, especially from the south, come down and they like to do a circuit. They start off with, well, actually at Capella up in
Queensland,
up the north.
Then Baldacombe.
Then they do Baldacombe, the Bush Ballads Baldacombe Festival. Then they go to Crow's Nest. Then
Bundaberg.
Codes at Bundaberg's another one. So they get a circuit which leads out to from Crow's Nest. They go to St George and then our own festival at Thargaminda, which we put on the Channel Country Music Muster.
Yes, we're going to talk about that right now. How long have you guys been doing that? The one at Thargaminda.
Started it in 2019.
Okay, yeah. So it's been running about 4 years.
Going
on for five. Yeah,
well, we had a COVID in between.
Okay,
yeah. So this is our fourth one that we've had. Yeah,
okay.
It's increasing. We had up over 300 caravans this year, and that was in the midst of rain and everything. Everything was an uncertainty. So it is growing, and we have a great time out there.
So where do they hold it, the Thargomindah one, just for the listeners?
Yeah, no, at the rodeo grounds, which is about 4 kilometres out of town.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they can camp up there.
Absolutely,
with their caravans,
yeah.
Tents,
camp
whatever?
Yep, yeah. We have all the facilities there, yeah. Showers, toilets. Yep.
We put up big marquees and, we all have a great time. And we have other things through the week as well. We have damper cooking
competitions
and
walk-ups during all week.
We have walk-ups through the week as
and
well.
And then we don't do any nighttime music. We do movie night, State of Origin football night, NRL.
Wow.
Yeah.
And, so this is
the big screen there,
on
out
the big
in the bush.
Screen, yeah, yeah, in the big screen. And then we have a camp oven meal, and then we do an old-time dance.
Okay.
Yeah.
Geez, State of Origin, that could be dangerous.
Oh,
Queensland and New
South Wales.
Queensland, New South Wales. Geez, that could be scary.
It is. Yeah, no, it's worked out good. Originally how it started out, the council came to us and wanted us to try and bring grey nomads into town, and they heard about these grey nomad festivals, so we've been to quite a few and... We started out organising.
We just wanted
it.
To get some people out into the area.
Yeah.
So we call it Give the Bush a Helping Hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the festival.
And every year we've raised around 150,000, 200,000. That's gone into the community.
That's
from
fantastic.
It. So this all goes back into the council in some way, shape or form.
The only money that goes out of the town is what the artists take.
The artist fees and the rent running of a festival, which is considerable. Yeah.
So before you started this particular festival, I should let all our listeners know, Jed and Trudy, aka the Hillbilly and the Hobbit.
Yeah, that's us. Yeah.
Now, you look a bit like Jed Clampett, I've got to tell you.
We'll let you work out who's...
I'm not taking my boots off to see if I've got hairy feet.
Hobbit with hairy feet. Yeah, that's how it started. Well, how it started was...
What, the Hillbilly and Hobbit?
We did Mildura 5 years, the Mildura Festival, which was a great festival. A lot of listeners have probably been there or heard about it.
Yep.
And down there you had to use a band for so many... For most of your gigs down there. And us being Queenslanders and we never worked much with bands at all in them days, they used to call us the Hillbillies from Queensland.
Right, okay.
So that sort of stuck. And then our later on, as we got better, I suppose, and we a bit more used to bands, our bass player, who's a pretty bit large fella, Trudy nicknamed Noompa, as in Oompa Loompa.
Okay.
Know, the old Oompa Loompas.
Yes.
And so he got back at it with calling it the Hobbit with hairy little feet. So that's how the Hillbilly.
That's how that came about.
And
so we couldn't find a name for the album. The new album, and he got me. He said, "Well, why don't you call it the Hillbilly and the Hobbit?"
Because we've got eight. This is our eighth album, and so we run out of time. So we thought, and we got it done with Rob Breeze, who is a fantastic muso from Tamworth. We're really happy with the new CD. So that's how we got the Hillbilly and the Hobbit.
So you got eight CDs, including the new one.
That's it,
and a DVD.
Yeah, so all original music, or do you do a lot of covers?
Not all original. We tend to. It's funny when you go to a festival and you're selling your merchandise.
Yep.
People they'll see songs there that they know, and they'll buy it for that song, which is it's a bit different, but that's what you've got to cater for all sorts. So we always put covers on there as well as doing our own stuff. So that's how we gradually bring more and more of our own stuff into it now, and the people are sort of looking for our stuff. Yeah. So
how long have you been playing as a band? Well,
as a duo.
Together as a duo, yeah.
We first stepped out on the stage as walk-ups in 2009.
Oh, well, so that's not long.
No, not a huge...
Really? That's like 4 years.
2009. Yeah.
So since 2009 to now, eight albums? Or did you have some of those albums before?
No, we just... Yeah, that's eight. Yeah,
so in four years...
No. Nine.
Oh, sorry, I'm 19.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
Nine,
yeah.
Okay, that sounds
so
a bit...
11 years.
Yeah, 11 years.
That's one,
Matt. 2009, so 10, 20, 15 years.
15 years.
Approximately.
Yeah. Crikey.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're getting old.
Where's it gone? Indeed.
Anyway.
We released our first album in 2010. So we went to this festival called Widgie. We did our walk-ups, came off stage. A lady gave us, she said to us, do you have an album? We said, no, we don't. She said, well, there's the money for your first album.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So we went home. We've seen our lead player at that particular stage, who we just mucked about with doing rough gigs as well. And he had a little studio, so he set up. That was our first album. So he did our first and second album, didn't
he? Yeah. Then we just gradually, going up the tree as you get, older.
Or get better, as it were, or whatever.
Or sillier, whichever.
Or sillier, yeah. You get the bloody idiot written across your forehead, you know. Do another album. Then you've got to get out on the road and sell them. Yeah. But anyway.
But you love being on the road. That's the main thing. Yeah. It's not hard. I mean, it takes time. But would you see it as hard work, really? Because you're smiling. You're both looking like you're loving doing what you're doing.
Well, we're still married.
You're still married. I just see that. You're putting your arm around each other. You're still in love. So you haven't killed each other yet.
In the music business, you never know who a lot of people are married, or with someone else, you know. So, you know.
We're not going to go there, Jen.
So we're a bit old for that sort of stuff. We don't need that in our lives.
Fair enough.
Yeah. No, we're just having fun. We're just a hillbilly in the whole of it.
So you call yourself the Hillbilly and the Hobbit?
We do now.
I mean, that's the name of your album.
That's the name of the album, but it's beginning to be known as Hillbilly and the Hobbit.
Okay, so when the compere, he'll introduce you as the Hillbilly and the Hobbit.
No, Bubbit, Jed and Trudy.
I don't know. It depends what the Garage feels, if he wants to give us a bit of stick or not.
I think he did yesterday, actually.
Called you the Hillbilly and the Hobbit? Well, I have to have words with you.
Yeah, well, you can't take yourself too serious, can you?
No, definitely not. Yeah. So, look, you're the singer, Greg?
Trudy's the singer.
So I haven't seen your set yet.
You'll see it soon.
I'm going to see it shortly because you're just about to get on stage.
You've got a good voice. But he's the writer.
I class myself as a songwriter more than a singer. Yeah.
And you play guitar?
I play rhythm.
Do you play bass?
Flonk.
We're both. Because we started late, you know, like all these good music players you hear, the guitar players, they start when they're bloody 10 to 11 years old. We haven't had a misspent childhood, so we started late in life, you know.
Okay.
So we're pretty average in that department. But Trudy's got the voice, and that makes up for everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you've got the writing ability, because if you've got 8 albums, there's got to be a fair chunk of that as original.
I've got a few awards up my sleeve. So, we're happy with what we do.
Awards up your sleeve for songwriting?
Songwriting and singing. Trudy's won a stack of
them. Female vocals.
Excellent.
Used to be in the Stan Costa Memorial Award, Gidgey Cole Awards. Tamworth stuff,
Well, I missed your set yesterday because I was so busy, but I'm going to make sure I watch it today. What can I expect to see in your set? Because you're not going to be up there. You're not going to be trying to strike oil, Jed, are you? You look like old man Clement. I mean, what can we expect?
Bit of good music, I hope.
Some ballads.
Something you
like
and a bit of humour.
I'm going to throw a bit of Pussycat in there this afternoon.
We take the mickey out of each other a bit, so we add a bit of comedy.
A bit of humour.
He does a few, not dirty jokes, he does a few jokes, are getting a bit old.
Okay. So you've got to start thinking of some new material.
I've got to get some new material. So if you know any good joke books out there.
But everybody knows us for our banter on stage.
We don't take ourselves too serious. We find if you can get the audience to react, it doesn't matter if you muck up, if you make mistakes, if you do this and do that. As long as you're out there having a reasonable time
and entertaining. I mean, if you're having a lend of each other, people can relate to that because most people, most people in relationships have a dig at each other in a fun way, so people can relate to that and have a bit of a laugh at that.
He was up there yesterday and said, oh, come on, shut up and sing, you know.
Yes. I think I heard that. Was that you, was it? Because I was wandering, doing more interviews, chatting with more people, and that was you.
Shut up and sing. Sounds like that Clint Eastwood, Shut Up, Monkey. Or that guitar's end. Shut Up,
Are
Monkey,
you talking
and sing.
Or, yeah,
no, okay.
See?
Right. Okay, there he is. I'm going to wind this up in a sec, guys. Okay. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us. I'm going to play a song to wind this up. Now, what do you think, we're going to get two answers here, no doubt, what do you think's the best on your new album? And we'll put that on for the listeners.
Well, he would say probably the one he's written. I would say the one he's written, which is the Old Gumtree Waltz.
Yeah, I would say that
Which
one
is what
too.
I'm doing this afternoon.
Yeah. Well, we're going to see that live.
It's one we released as a single. It's been out there for a bit.
Okay.
And, it's a good song. And, I think it's probably... Well, they're all pretty good on the album. We're really happy with the production that Rob and his team have done down at Tamworth.
They've done it, yeah. There's a few covers. Yeah, but the Gumtree Waltz.
Yeah,
the Gumtree Waltz.
The old Gumtree Waltz.
Well, I'm going to throw that on right now for the listeners.
Good on
you. Thank you
very
much.
Jed. Thank you. Trudy.
Yep.
The Hillbilly and the Hobbit.
That's him.
Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us.
Hey, no worries.
We're going to be back with more of and Roman Oz straight after. What's the song called?
The old Gumtree Waltz.
Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, mate.
You're dancing with me once again as I dream of a time when there were no holes. Neath the stars in the sky, we would dance, you and I, keeping time to that old gum tree. It was fun and romance at that old outside dance when the band sat on logs as they played. On an ant bit of clay, the dancers would sway to the beat of that old gum tree waltz. Neath the lamp in the tree, we danced, you and me, stepping lightly to the music they above, filled our young hearts with love while we danced to that old gum tree waltz. One, two, three, one, come waltzing with me. One, two, three, one, round that old willow tree. One, two, three, one, no roof and no walls, we would dance to that old gum tree. Here alone, but our memories they still can recall. To a time far and free, round that old lonely tree, as the band played that old gum tree waltz. And with your hand in mine, let us drift back in time, when the troubles of the world seem so small. While the dance is in turn, they'd whirl when we danced to that old gum tree waltz. One, two, three, one, come waltzing with me. One, two, three, one, round that old willow tree. One, two, three, one, no roof and no walls, we would dance to that old gum tree waltz. When we danced to that old gum tree.
Street Caravans have now moved to a brand new location. 11 Clayton Road, Heatherbrae is where you'll find them. Whether you're looking to sell, trade or upgrade, they'll look after you. Check out their range, Silver Valley, Hurricane, Paramount, Road Trip or their flagship Option RV. They won't be beaten on price, so get yourself a knockout deal today. They're open 6 days a week. Why not give them a call on 02-4987-5288 or check out their website, 7thstreetcaravans.com.au.
G'day listeners, Phil C here. This is Roman Oz, and yes, it's that part of the show. We've got Mr. Ken Wilson from Truck Friendly Caravan Raven and Safety Program on the show today. How are you today, Ken?
I'm well, Phil. Yourself?
Oh, mate, fantastic. Back home now. Our five-month trip has finally come to an end, and I'm sitting here in my home studio looking out the window. Picture-perfect day here, beautiful blue skies, and, yeah, living in a fantastic part of the world, but probably not as fantastic as where you are up there in Bundaberg area. So
yes, it's always good here. Yeah. One day's perfect, but
one day's perfect, the next day's even more perfect. Matey, thanks for taking the time to chat with us again. What are we going to talk about this week?
There's a lot of new people to the caravanning and sort of just general safety, I suppose, in the caravans.
Right.
You know, when you're hooking up and getting into a routine and a little bit of fire safety and that sort of stuff.
So. Okay. Okay. So what's the sort of things people should be looking for or making sure that are correct and up to date and so on and so forth? For example, if somebody's new to it and they buy themselves a second-hand caravan, you know, are there things that they should really look for as far as safety is concerned inside the caravan?
That's correct. Always have a good look and make sure that there's a good working fire alarm.
Okay.
Smoke alarm.
Yes.
You know, if the battery needs replacing, then it's always a good idea to replace the battery on the same day every year, whether it's your birthday, whether it's the 30th of June. Yep. You know, just pick some day that works for you guys.
Uh-huh.
But replace the battery on the same day. So if you buy a second-hand one, just pull the old battery out, throw it away and put a new one in.
Okay.
That just to know that it is working properly.
Mm-hmm.
Also check the fire extinguisher. Now, the fire extinguisher, all the caravans should have a fire extinguisher. They should be the red ones with the white band.
Okay.
And depending on the space that you've got available, depends on the size that might be in there. But they're a dry powder extinguisher.
Right.
So what they need to do every now and again is take it out, give it a good shake, mm-hmm. even turn it upside down and hit the bottom of it with a rubber mallet just to loosen up the powder, et cetera.
Okay.
So that when you do want to use it, you know it's going to work.
Okay.
Too often they just sit there and, a couple of hours ago, I was out in my van and I pulled my extinguisher out.
Okay.
And I actually had a bit of trouble sort of getting it out. So I had to, sit it in a little bit sort of neater so that it would actually come out. So always check. It's something that people tend to forget.
Mm-hmm.
But when you need it, you need it, and you need it in a hurry.
Of course.
So just make sure that you know where it is, how to get it out, how to release the catch, mm-hmm. how to use it, how to release the pin so you can work the trigger,
mm-hmm.
And know what fires, et cetera, that you can actually use that extinguisher on. So just be a little bit pre-warned regarding that.
Okay. Very important, especially if it's a second-hand caravan, for example, because, yeah, you don't know. Your battery and your smoke alarm could be completely dead, and your extinguisher could even be out of date because they do have a date, like an expiry date, don't they?
Yes, always check them to see there's usually a gauge on them.
Okay.
Just make sure that that's in the usable date. If you've got a fire extinguisher that is, getting on quite a bit, you know, you've got a very old van, then mm-hmm. it's probably more prudent to just to get rid of it and get a new one.
Okay.
Add another one to the backup. I've always got one in my caravan and also in the back of my car.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that if, you know, there's a fire in the caravan, I can't get to the extinguisher, mm-hmm. then I've got the one in the car to sort of help out or vice versa.
Good idea. Very good idea to have a backup. So what other things inside the caravan do you think people should be looking for?
You've got to look out for a lot of people these days, they just cooking outside on outdoor kitchens or outdoor barbecues, et cetera.
Right.
I've got a little all-for-adventure camper cooker, butane cooker, and I do probably 90% of my cooking on that.
Okay.
Outside on the table under the annex. But if you're using the stove in the caravan, quite often they're gas.
Yes.
So there is a flame there. Mm-hmm. There's usually near a window, so if there's any curtains flapping around, make sure that they're not going to catch on to the fire.
Right.
Keep other items around away from the stove, like your tea towels and other items. We do tend to sort of move things around in a caravan because we've got limited space, so just be careful where you're putting things.
Okay.
So they're not going to become a you know, a ignition point or a source of fuel for the fire.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And watch out for heat as well. If you've got a exhaust fan on your stove, then don't forget to use that. And just be careful too. If you are cooking outside, if you're doing something nice and smoky, like doing some pork ribs or something, and the smoke gets inside the caravan, it could set off the alarms, etc. So, you know, I tend to close the window above the area that I'm cooking, just so that I don't end up with those smells inside.
Okay,
that's the reason I cook outside anyway.
Mm-hmm. Now, there are other forms of detectors inside the caravan, aren't there? Apart from a smoke detector, because now people are getting all sorts of heating inside the caravan, and in particular, I've met a lot of people that get gas heating as well inside their caravan. So there are some detectors that pick up that too, aren't there, if you've got any gas leaks or whatever?
That's correct, yeah. If you get a carbon monoxide alarm.
Okay.
There's various alarms that you can get. Always recommend putting one of those in.
Mm-hmm.
That will give an alarm if there's any of the fumes caused by a fire. For example, there was some people using their stove or their oven
mm-hmm.
to warm up the van on a very, very cold morning. It's a very, very silent killer. You don't smell it.
That's right.
Had the van all sealed up, the vent on the near the door on the bottom of the door is designed to have a lot of those fumes out.
Right.
A lot of people also seal them up when they're going over dusty roads, so they don't get dust in the van.
Okay.
Make sure that they're all open and free to expel air, etc.
Mm-hmm.
These people were using their oven just to heat the van up while they ate breakfast.
Okay.
Didn't realise that they were inhaling all these fumes. And
wow.
When they hooked up and about 5, 10, 15 minutes down the road, the husband started falling asleep at the wheel.
Wow.
It was a result of the poisoning from those fumes from using the oven. So that's definitely a no-no. Be careful if you are using any of the other heaters, diesel heaters and so on and so forth.
Right.
Make sure that they are well vented away from the caravan, etc., so you're not having those fumes and that coming in.
Okay.
Especially for the do-it-yourself, just make sure that you, do it correctly.
Do it correctly, yeah, and vent all that stuff. Because as you said, it is a silent killer, isn't it, really? I mean, yes, not a good practice.
You don't know it's affecting you, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you're half asleep anyway.
So is there anything inside that we haven't touched on, or are we ready to move outside, or will you overlook something?
I always have an escape plan.
Yes.
Now, it probably sounds silly in a caravan where you've usually only got the one door.
Right.
But work out sort of which windows... how do you open up the windows and so on and so forth to get out quickly.
Mm-hmm.
If your fire has started the kitchen at the door end of the caravan and you're sleeping on the bed,
yes,
just be aware of what you can do to get out. Little things like you can do is maybe have a table set up underneath one of the bedroom windows.
Okay.
So that if you do want to climb out because of a fire, then you can actually... climb down onto the table it's not such a drop from the window.
Mm-hmm.
Little things like that. Not always practical, but if you can, it'll make a big, big difference.
Okay. So now that we're outside of the caravan, what I've always experienced, you park up, you're there for days, and when you're ready to leave, people sort of want to say, good day, where you're going, where you're travelling, and you're trying to pack up. Now, what are the things that you can sort of do to either A, avoid that, or B, stay focused on the job at hand? Because there's so many things you need to check outside too, isn't there?
Number one, get into a routine. Now,
okay.
You can get into a routine. If you're new to caravanning, do up a list.
Okay.
And the list will include, lifting your legs, your stabilizers,
mm-hmm.
In what order that you should be doing things, et cetera.
Right.
And try and stick to that list for a bit, and also make sure that your partner is familiar with that list and assisting to remind you on what order to do things.
Okay.
So when, as you say, the next door neighbour probably hasn't spoken to you for a week, but as soon as you start to pack up, they want to know where you're going and all this sort of stuff.
Exactly.
And you can very easily get out of your routine, mm-hmm. and that's when mistakes happen. Mm-hmm. You'll forget to do that. You'll forget to take the handbrake off, which I've done myself.
Right.
Because, somebody comes and talks to you and you're doing this and doing that, and then before you know it, you're saying goodbye and in the car because you just want to get away from them, and you've left the handbrake on, and it's a little bit embarrassing when you're halfway across the paddock and your van wheels are starting to dig a bit of a furrow. You know?
And there are so many things that they do need to check, really, isn't there? Because not only like you said, the handbrake, but you've got to make sure your chains are on correctly, and like you said, you've got your legs lifted up, and you've got your lights and everything plugged in. So I think what you just said, a routine is great, because once you've got a routine and you follow that routine, then you can pretty much do it like in autopilot, even though you are being distracted. But when you do become distracted, that's when things get overlooked.
That's right. And Jen and I have been doing it for many, many years now, and we've sort of got into a routine, and we sort of very rarely even need to talk about it. As soon as I've got the electricals on, Jen's standing at the back of the van waiting for me to test the lights.
Okay.
When I'm actually hooking up the van, she's standing over me, and she knows how to. She can hook up the van without any drama herself.
Okay.
And she's watching what I'm doing and double checking to make sure that I've got it right.
Mm-hmm.
She's not backwards and coming forwards if I miss something. That's for sure, but. She's very competent to be able to do all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
So I think it's very important that your partner, who may not be the main driver, is familiar with how to hook up. Because if you're ill or you're taken to hospital and they need to move the van somewhere, that they can actually tow the van and hook it up mm-hmm. correctly and know what to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I guess that the things to be just mindful of is, like you said, make a list, a comprehensive list, including everything, even your TV antenna and your fold out steps. Things like that get overlooked quite often. I see vents are left open.
I was down up at 1770 the other day, and a van's going past with the leak. The side steps still out. Extension leads are another issue as well.
Right.
Be very, very careful. Never use an extension lead while it's still wound up.
Okay.
They should be fully unwound. Uh-huh. What happens is if you're putting any high current through a coil of wire, basically you're creating a motor or a generator.
Right.
That will create heat. You get this inductive heat in the cable.
Mm-hmm.
And that can burn out the leads, etc.
Okay.
So always sort of run them out, backwards and forwards underneath the van if you've got a very long one. But we keep we've got a couple of extension leads of varying lengths, and just use the one that's appropriate to the location.
Yes.
Sometimes you're close to the box, and sometimes you're half a mile away.
Yes.
And we've also got a weatherproof joiner as well that I can join the leads if we get to one of those extreme locations where we're that far away.
Yes.
And also check your lead to make sure it's in good condition,
right,
and that the insulation hasn't sort of come away from the plug or the socket.
Mm-hmm.
And only use a proper 15-amp lead.
Yes.
They're recognisable by the very thick earth pin.
Right.
And in the socket, it'll have a larger earth pin socket on those as well. So,
yes.
So don't try and use a 10-amp lead.
Yep.
They're not designed to carry the current you need in the caravan.
Mm.
And what'll end up happening is you'll end up with voltage drop.
Yep.
I don't know how much you know about electricity, but if you've got low voltage, you'll have a higher current, and that's when you'll start burning out your leads and burn out all your appliances and that type of thing. So
okay.
Make sure you've got the right size lead. It should be a 15-amp lead for most
mm-hmm.
caravans.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else, Ken?
I think that sort of covers most of that. There's always, like, you can keep me talking, Phil. I'll go for ages. But, you know, it's a matter of just being sort of very sensible. Your gas bottles, you know, keep them topped up. What I do with ours, we've got 2 9 kilos on the front.
Yes.
And then we've got the tap in the middle, which points to the gas bottle that it's actually operating from.
Mm-hmm.
We always start on the passenger side gas bottle.
Right.
That's the one we use first. And I've got a aluminium, cabana clip.
Yes.
That I just clip on that cable so I know which gas bottle I'm using at the time. And
okay.
When that one's empty, I'll then swap over to the other one. And that way I know that first one there is
empty.
I know that one's empty.
Mm.
Yeah, don't keep swapping from bottle to bottle to bottle. Well, you end up with 2 bottles empty instead of, just one empty and one full.
Good idea. Good idea. Well, mate, you've given us a lot of handy tips today, I think. I think some very interesting stuff about safety and also some general stuff that people should, especially if they're new to it, make up a list, follow the list, and make sure that your partner's able to do what you can't, or even if she checks to make sure that you've done all your things, and you can then go and check to make sure she's done all her things. But then, of course, don't tell her, because if she misses something, you tell her, you could end up with no dinner that night. So.
That's right, yeah. Jen's always, when we're driving, et cetera, she's always acting as a co-pilot.
Yes.
She doesn't sleep in the car.
Uh-huh.
But she's always acting as a co-pilot and just double-checking that, there's the bat cars behind, and she'll sort of keep me informed, looking at her mirror, et cetera, as to what's happening behind and or in front. And it's just a good way to, help get to the plate, your destination safely.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
I class myself as a good driver, but I'm not perfect by any means. And when you're concentrating on a big heavy van, there's a lot of things to consider.
To be mindful of, yep.
And she'll also remind me, about the electric brakes and that type of thing as well.
Mm-hmm.
Have I adjusted the electric brakes from low speed to highway speed and vice versa?
Okay.
So there's all those sort of things. She also needs to know how to operate those electric brakes. So.
Mm-hmm.
In an emergency, she can sort of press the button or something like that if I'm unable to.
Yes.
But, it's one of those things to just make sure that both of you are fully capable of knowing what to do. Because last thing you want as an emergency is trying to have to explain to somebody, what they've got to do.
Yep.
It's got to become almost second nature.
Absolutely. All right, mate. Well, I think we might wrap this one up. Now, you know the drill. You've been on the show now for quite a while. What sort of song can we play for you today?
When I was a kid, I used to listen to The Seekers.
Okay.
And it was very sad, the passing of Judith Durham there.
Mm-hmm.
But Puff the Magic Dragon is one of the ones that brings back some pretty fond memories. So
okay.
Puff the Magic Dragon by The Seekers.
All right. There you go, listeners. Thank you so much for your time today, Ken.
My pleasure. Always. Good to talk to you, Phil. Thank you.
Thank you. Ken Wilson, listeners, Truck Friendly Caravan Road Safety Program. We're going to be back with more Roman Oz straight after his selection today by The Seekers, Puff the Magic Dragon.
Puff the Magic Dragon flew by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolly. Little Jackie Paper loved that rascal Puff and bought him strings and sealing wax and other fancy stuff. Oh, Puff the Magic Dragon,
sing up,
lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolly. Puff the Magic Dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in in a land called Honolly.
We hope you enjoyed the show, listeners.
If you missed any, check out our Facebook page, Spotify, or romanoz.com.au.
Tune in next week for more
Roman Oz.